I speak to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Fairness and equality are hot topics these days. Don't get me wrong, for the most part, this is great news for society. A greater emphasis on fairness and equality can mean wonders for a world that so often skews to the rich, the privileged, and those already in power. But the problem is that a lot of our conversations about fairness and equality come from a place of privilege. If you benefit from privilege in society, it's easy to ask for fairness and equality, and even to work for it, for the sake of others, because then you get to be part of setting the terms. You get to determine what is fair and what is equal, and not the parties which are unfairly disadvantaged by the lack of equality and fairness. In fact, that is the inherent problem when it comes to fairness and equality, the unwillingness of those in a privileged position to suffer, so to speak, for the sake of those who lack the benefit of privilege. We see this time and time again in society, whether it is men being unsupportive and resistant to supporting the rise of women in the world, or white people feigning shock when they are confronted by communities of color that seek to change oppressive systems that are founded on racism, or the rich paying nothing but lip service to the poor and the marginalized while their bank accounts grow at the poor's expense. In our gospel reading today, Jesus confronts notions of fairness and equality, pointing to something beyond that, which is more than either can achieve. Our parable today comes in the midst of Jesus' teachings about the kingdom of God. First, in Matthew 19, Jesus takes a child and sets their humble and lowly status as the exemplar for receiving the kingdom in the right way. Then the rich young man arrives on the scene as the antithesis to this childlike nature. And Jesus completely undermines his self-salvation worldview by emphasizing the nature of salvation by God's grace alone. And then we come to our passage today, which is designed to get under our skin and to annoy us. The parable is pretty mundane at first glance. A vineyard owner is in need of laborers, so he goes out early in the morning to find some and agrees on an appropriate daily wage. Realizing he needs more help, he goes out again at 9 and then noon and then 3. And then realizing that there was still some work to be done before the day was over, the owner of the vineyard goes out one last time just to see if he can squeeze any more out of the failing daylight. Jesus spends extra time focusing on these last folks for dramatic effect. These aren't your typical go-getters. These would have been the folks that were unemployed, but not really too concerned about finding a job. They had been sitting on the fringes of the town square, idle all day, as the farmer continued to come by time and time again looking for laborers. By the end of the day, they were the only people left. And so when the farmer asked them why they have been standing around idle all day, they have the audacity to say, "Because no one has hired us." In spite of this, the owner then hires them anyway and sends them to the vineyard to finish up. At this point, it's a pretty straightforward story, but that's because Jesus is just setting us up for that gotcha moment. You see, if the landowner had begun doling out the pay with the workers who showed up first, there wouldn't have been a story. Nobody would have been the wiser to the landowner's payment plan and his generosity. But instead, he calls for the laborers who were hired last and pays them what he agreed to pay the laborers who were hired first. At this point, you can imagine that everyone involved was elated. The laborers who had just been paid were probably hooting and hollering at their luck at being paid a full day's wage, while the others were likely licking their chops at the prospect of a major payday. But with each prospective group being paid the same amount of money, the dissatisfaction would have spread person to person like wildfire until they couldn't contain it anymore, and they would have begun grumbling. "These last only worked an hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." Now, if we're honest with ourselves, we all probably agree with these grumbles. After all, it isn't fair. There's nothing fair about it when we think about our typically worldly understanding of fairness. We can all likely remember as kids, or maybe our own kids, watching as cookies or candies were dispersed, making sure that everyone got the same amount, or at least that we got more. By worldly standards, the laborers who arrived at the beginning of the day earned far more than the laborers who had only worked 1 hour. So it's only fair that they get paid more. But here's the thing. We aren't dealing with a capitalist or works-based economy of salvation when it comes to Jesus. God's kingdom isn't marked by fairness and equality. God's kingdom is about justice. God's justice. And that is entirely a grace-based economy of salvation, reliant on God's character, on God's work, and not our own, and not whether or not we deserve it or not. Jesus sets us up to be offended or even appalled at the apparent unfairness of the parable. And in doing so, he unmasks our privilege in thinking that we, like the early laborers, deserve more because of all the hard work we put in, because of our intellect, because of our great faith, or just because we've always had privilege, because of our social position or ethnicity or whatever else has given it to us. You see, God's generous justice often rubs those with privilege the wrong way, because privileged positions have the most to lose. And we need to be honest with ourselves about the various privileges that each of us carry, and the way that God challenges us to shed the safety of that privilege, to receive his grace, and to ensure that his kingdom of mercy and love is enacted on earth as it is in heaven. Also, we need to wonder why we always seem to identify with the earliest laborers who feel that they have earned a more proportionate amount of God's generosity. Perhaps, in truth, all of our labor, all of our standing in the world, all of our privilege, all of our work in the church only truly amounts to the equivalent of what the laborers who worked 1 hour provided. Perhaps the world and the church would be different if we were like those laborers who were elated at receiving the generosity of the farmer despite their meager efforts. Perhaps our views on fairness and equality would more reflect justice if we embraced the generosity of God as a gift that we did not earn or deserve. Justice is more than fairness. It is more than equality. It means that God's love transforms our world, our society, so that there are no longer haves and have-nots. Justice means that we work for the day, that the color of your skin doesn't give you an unfair advantage in life, or more often than not, an unfair disadvantage. Justice means we work for the day where no matter what gender, sex, orientation you are, you experience the same love and respect of God in his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. As followers of Jesus, as the church, and as children of God, may we all come to the realization that in Jesus, God's grace is extended to each and every one of us, even though we haven't earned it. May we hoot and holler at the wondrous grace and generosity of God, which embraces each one of us, no matter who we are, no matter what we've done, no matter whether we think we're worth it or not. God believes that you are worth it. God believes that your neighbor is worth it too. Might we all seek justice in this place, in this community, and across the world. Come, Holy Spirit, come, and give us the power to receive God's grace with open arms. Thanks be to God.